this is your Polycast for Tuesday, April 10th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a TV ad barrage is coming your way, and three local rivers are on an endangered list. Political groups are locking in TV ad time in huge chunks for the Minnesota governor's race. Brian Baxt reports.
The ad time reservations are a taste of a fall campaign sure to be saturated with attack ads. Following Tim Pawlenty's campaign launch, the Republican Governors Association reserved more than $2 million in ad time for the weeks leading up to Election Day. An RGA official says buying early allows the group to save money because rates rise closer to the election. The Democratic-aligned Alliance for a Better Minnesota has been quietly gobbling up ad time, too. The group is slated to go up with TV spots just after Labor Day. The Democratic Governors Association has partnered with the Alliance previously and has earmarked $2.5 million for Minnesota so far. If the outlook of the race changes, the groups can cancel their reservations and shift the money to elections elsewhere. Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News, at the Capitol.
The Minnesota House could soon vote on a $9 million bailout for local licensing offices. Members of the House Ways and Means Committee Monday advanced the bill for future floor action. Under the proposal, deputy registrars would be reimbursed for overtime and other expenses related to the flawed rollout of the state's new licensing and registration computer system. Republican Representative Dave Baker of Willmar says he considers his bill a disaster relief act for 174 offices that have had to deal with the problems. He said the one-time payments would be based on transactions.
This has been sort of agreed to by the Deputy Register Association and the group as a whole, saying this is the most fair and quickest way to get the money out to these offices that in some way are barely hanging on to stay in business.
DFL Representative Lyndon Carlson said he supports the bill's goal, but he said he's concerned that using Department of Public Safety reserves instead of the general fund could cause budget problems for the agency. A three-judge Minnesota Court of Appeals panel has sided with the city of Richfield's effort to fire a police officer. Richfield city officials say the court's decision yesterday supports the city's authority to preserve the public's trust in law enforcement and community safety. But dissenters claim the ruling will weaken the labor arbitration process. Brant Williams has more.
Richfield fired police officer Nathan Kinsey after he slapped a teenage boy during a 2015 traffic stop and failed to report his use of force. After an arbitrator reinstated Kinsey, Richfield unsuccessfully tried to have the decision vacated and filed an appeal. Richfield's attorney, Mary Lee Abrams, hailed the panel's reversal of the lower court decision.
I think that this case really did a nice job of balancing the interests of the parties and really came out in favor of the paramount importance of the citizens in our communities.
The city argued that the arbitrator's award for Kinsey violated the public policy exception to state labor law. Abrams argued in front of the panel in January that Kinsey had a history of using force and not reporting it. And she said returning Kinsey to the police department posed a threat to public safety. However, Abrams says that Kinsey never returned to the force after the city appealed the court's decision. The union representing Kinsey, Law Enforcement Labor Services, issued a statement saying it was disappointed by the ruling. The union's executive director, Sean Gormley, says, quote, "The decision deals an unprecedented blow to a basic pillar of collective bargaining, binding arbitration." The court's reversal is only the second time in the state's history that an arbitrator award for a terminated police officer has been reversed based on the public policy exception. In 2001, the Court of Appeals also granted the exception in the case of Brooklyn Center police officer John Barlow. According to court documents, the city fired Barlow for what it called a pattern of offensive and predatory conduct toward women. Brooklyn Center maintained that if allowed to remain on the force, Barlow threatened to undermine public confidence in the department. Labor attorney Greg Corwin, who represented Barlow nearly 17 years ago, says he's disappointed by today's ruling in the Richfield case. Corwin says he fears the ruling sets a troubling precedent.
When the court overturns an arbitration award, it not only, in my estimation, violates the public policy behind the statute, but it also encourages appeals by public jurisdiction.
Corwin says binding arbitration was established under state law as an efficient way to resolve labor disputes. And he says other cities may now be emboldened to challenge decisions they don't like and slow down the dispute resolution process. However, Richfield attorney Mary Lee Abrams disagrees. She says supporters of Officer Barlow's award in 2001 warned that a reversal in that case would lead to a torrent of public policy exception challenges to arbitrator decisions.
And clearly that was, what, 16, 17 years ago? And it didn't open up any floodgates. I think that that's not a very compelling position to take.
Abrams added that in the opinion, Judge Francis Connolly wrote that the court did not take the decision lightly. The Richfield case may not be over. Corwin says he expects there will be an appeal filed to the state Supreme Court, and he said he'll support that effort. Law Enforcement Labor Services Director Sean Gormley says its options include an appeal to the Minnesota Supreme Court. Brant Williams, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A new report lists two rivers in Minnesota and one in Wisconsin as among the most endangered in America. All three rivers face critical decisions that could determine their futures. As part of our special month-long focus on water, Kirsty Marone reports.
Every year, the environmental advocacy group called American Rivers publishes a list of the 10 rivers in the U.S. it considers most at risk.
This report basically tries to identify rivers that are at a crossroads.
Olivia Dorothy of American Rivers says the group considers a waterway's significance as well as the magnitude of the threat it faces.
We have seldom seen over the many years of issuing this report a collection of threats this severe or an administration so bent on undermining and reversing protections for clean water, rivers, and public health.
This year's report ranks the Kuishewi River in the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness as the third most endangered in the U.S. That's due to Twin Metals' proposed underground copper-nickel mine near Ely. Environmentalists fear it could pollute the water that runs into the Boundary Waters. The Trump administration is considering whether to go ahead with a 20-year mining moratorium on projects near the BWCA, as proposed in the waning days of the Obama presidency. Two other rivers made the list not because they face imminent threats, but because of proposals to remove locks or dams, allowing the water to flow freely. One is an 8-mile stretch of the Mississippi, from St. Anthony Falls in Minneapolis to the confluence of the Minnesota River. It's known as the Mississippi River Gorge because of the steep bluffs along the water. It's listed at number 6. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is studying two locks and dams on the river to decide whether to remove them. Dorothy says restoring the natural character of the river would be a good thing.
If the locks and dams were removed, we would see the river would transition from what is now flat water pools or reservoirs into rapid, swift-moving water.
Dorothy says those big rapids are rare along the upper Mississippi. They provide habitat for threatened species like mussels that rely on swift-moving water. At number 10 on the list is the Kinnikinnick River in northwestern Wisconsin. To anglers and kayakers, it's known as the Kinney, a world-class trout stream that runs right through the city of River Falls. The river's natural flow is disrupted by two dams that provide electricity to the city. The federal licenses for those dams are expiring, and officials in River Falls are seeking to renew them. But some residents, like Michael Page, want to see the dams removed. Page, who is president of Friends of the Kinney, calls the section of the river where the dams are sad.
For a mile of the river right in town, it's these two ponds instead of what would otherwise be, you know, beautiful world-class trout stream. Instead, we have a couple of stagnant and highly eutrophic, really gross mill ponds.
The city agreed that the dams eventually should be removed, but not until 2023 and 2040. Page says that delay is unacceptable.
You have a world-class river, you have an urban environment, and you have a river that is currently severely degraded by the presence of the dams that you have the opportunity to restore.
Across the U.S., more communities are taking an interest in the rivers they once took for granted. Dorothy says there's been a shift towards seeing rivers as a community resource rather than simply a transportation corridor or a place for garbage.
A century more ago, rivers were basically, you know, that was the back door. That was where you dumped your sewage. People didn't recreate there. You wouldn't go recreating on a river. You wouldn't want to see a river aesthetically. It wasn't an important part of a community.
Dorothy says she hopes the report will spur the public to get involved to protect those rivers as they face a critical crossroads. Covering the environment, I'm Kirsty Marone, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.